There are things you don't even realize you're starving for until someone gives you a taste. And then suddenly, you feel the ache you didn't know had a name. This pour is personal. And I won't lie, this one might spark some hard conversations in my own relationship. But the whiskey's talking, and this needs to be said. Because I've been loved. I am loved. But that doesn't mean I'm fed. Not emotionally. Not fully. There are parts of me that feel like they've gone quiet. Not because they died, but because they haven't been spoken to in a long, long time. This episode isn't about heartbreak. It's not about leaving. It's about what happens when the connection you crave gets buried in a routine, roles, and responsibility. And tonight, I'm not talking about loneliness exactly. I'm talking about something quieter, something harder to name. That feeling of being unseen, inside something that's supposed to feel whole. Why does this happen? That's what I want to unpack tonight. Not to fault anyone, but to name it. And if you ever sat in a room with someone you love and still felt miles away, then you already know the feeling. So let's talk about it. Not to stir the pot, just to tell the truth. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight, we're pouring something close. Something that burns a little going down. Something that might linger longer than you expect. So pull up a chair, and let's speak what most people never say out loud. I'm married, have kids, a full house, loud, busy, chaotic. But I've seen this ache show up in couples without kids too. Different noise, same quiet distance. And yet, I've never felt more emotionally underfed. Not because there's no love in this house. There is. But because the kind of connection I'm craving sometimes doesn't fit in the routine anymore. In marriage, the kids come first. Schedules, snacks, school drop-offs. There's always something that needs tending to. And before you know it, the part of you that used to feel seen, the one that made people pause, really look, and say, "Damn, I see you," he hasn't been here in a while. Now it's school forms, medication schedules, bills, groceries, the 43rd load of laundry. Marriage didn't take me away, but life inside it started asking me to trade little pieces of myself for the sake of the system. And I said yes, over and over. Until one day I realized I was starving. Not for touch, not for sex, but for connection, for curiosity, for someone to look at me like I still have a soul that deserves to be seen, not just tasked to complete. And sometimes I catch myself heading to the sports bar down the road. Not for the game, not even for the whiskey, but for the hum of the place where no one expects anything from me. Where a stranger might ask me a question I haven't answered before. Where the conversation isn't about school, or bills, or what's for dinner. Sometimes, as bad as it might sound, it's just nice to catch an eye or two. To be reminded I'm attractive. To feel alive. It's not about cheating. That's the easy story people jump to. This is harder. It's about remembering I still exist, that I'm still desirable, that I can start a conversation that has nothing to do with bills, backpacks, or bedtime. Sometimes, I don't even need to speak. I just want to be in a room where I'm not someone's task. And if I'm being honest, I don't think I'm the only one who feels that ache, because I know my wife needs nourishment too. She's not immune from the same loneliness I feel. I don't pretend to know what her soul is starving for, but I know it's something. And maybe she sits in her own ache, wondering if I still see her. If I even notice what she's giving up, or how many parts of herself she's buried just to keep the house running. And maybe she's craving to be touched like a woman, not just a mother. Seen like a soul, not just a schedule. And I have to believe, if we can name that truth, maybe we can start creating space for it. And yeah, sometimes I get angry. Not at her, at the silence. At the way life wears us down without ever asking what we wanted to keep. Because sometimes I wonder if the version of me in this house is the watered-down one. The one who shows up, who checks the boxes, who makes it work. But not the one who lights up. Not the one who laughs loud. Not the one who feels like fire. And that thought, it scares me. There's a friend I've had since I was a kid. Her name's Lanice. We met when we were 13 or 14, back when life was messy and innocent and wild in its own quiet way. And through all these years, we've stayed in touch. Not often, just every now and then, a text, a short call, we check in. But never too long, never too deep, because we're both married. And even though we've never crossed a line, we still tiptoe around the one that's been drawn for us. Not by us, by the unspoken rule that says, if you're married, if you're in a committed relationship, you don't maintain emotional closeness with someone of the opposite sex. You hide it. You suffocate it. You starve it and expect it to die. Even if they knew you from before. Even if they held space for you in every version of you becoming. So we talked for a few minutes, then pull back, respectfully, carefully. And every time, I feel it. We're both losing something. Not because there's more we want, but because there's more we already have, and we're not allowed to name it. Lanice knows me, not just who I am now. She knows the kid version of me, the one who cracked jokes in the back of the church, the one who made bad choices in relationships, the one who was hurting and she knew just to sit with me. She knows the angry, wounded, loud version, the quiet, collapsed, post-trauma version, the man trying to hold it all together while life was falling apart. She's one of the only people who knows all of me and still calls me a friend. But because of the rule, because of the risk, we keep our calls short, our texts simple, not because we're hiding something, but because we're protecting the image of something else. And that's what no one talks about. Sometimes, the people who know us best are the ones we're forced to speak to the least. Because their presence says something deeper than our partners know how to hear. Not better, just different. And sometimes, different is what our soul misses most. It's not just Lanice I think about. It's the friends I haven't made yet. The new people I still want to meet. Men and women alike. And if I'm honest, I've always connected more easily with women. Maybe it's the trauma. Maybe it's just the kind of presence I feel safe in. But it's real. I know women who say they connect better with men, too. It's not about attraction. It's about energy and feeling safe. People who show up with fresh stories, fresh energy, a new way of seeing the world. Because sometimes you don't just need history. You need something present, someone who sees you as you are today. We're not meant to be emotionally fed by just one person. Even the best marriages, the most solid relationships, can't hold every piece of who we are. Different people awaken different parts of us. Some challenge our thinking. Some teach us something new. Some calm our storms. Some, like Lanice, just remind us who we were before the layers went on. And when we cut off those sources of connection, out of fear or guilt or social conditioning, we start to shrink, quietly, slowly. Not because we're unloved, but because we're underfed. And I think that's where the real loneliness begins. Not in being alone, but in being surrounded and still unseen. We need new conversations, new voices, old friends, safe places to say things we don't even know we're carrying until someone draws it out. Not because our partner failed us, but because no one person was ever meant to carry all of us. We're communal creatures. We're built for circles, not corners. But somewhere along the way, we were told that love meant closing every door that wasn't your partner. And I get it. Sometimes I wonder, what if love also meant trusting each other to have souls that needed more than one reflection? I think about how many quiet conversations never happen because we're afraid they'll be misunderstood. Afraid our partners will feel threatened. Afraid we'll start wanting something more. Afraid we're already wanting something more and just don't want to admit it. But most of the time, that's not it. Most of the time, we're just craving relief. From the weight of being everything to everyone. From the pressure to always be okay. From the isolation that comes with stability. And sometimes, just talking to someone outside your everyday world, someone who knew you before the layers went on, can bring you back to life in a way nothing else can. It doesn't mean something's broken. It means something inside you still wants to feel fully alive. And the sad part is, so many of us will never get that space. Because the rules say, if you need emotional connection outside your partner, something's wrong at home. But what if that's not true? What if emotional connection isn't about escaping your life? but returning to yourself? What if needing to be seen by someone else isn't a threat to your marriage, but a reminder of your humanity? And it's not just emotional connection. Let's talk about physical intimacy, the kind only committed relationships can give. Kisses, touches, sex. When that kind of intimacy fades, it changes things. The body doesn't just miss pleasure. It misses presence. It misses being chosen, being reached for, being wanted, not out of duty, but desire. And when that stops happening, when it takes the back burner for too long, that hunger gets louder. Not always in sexual ways, but in the need to feel awake again, to feel like you still take someone's breath just by being there. And when we don't get that at home, sometimes we look for it in conversation, in community, and a quiet pull towards someone who just sees us. I'm not looking to be saved. I'm not looking for a spark. I'm not trying to rewrite my story. I'm just admitting the truth, that I just want to feel whole without having to give up the parts of me that only show up when certain people speak my name. Opposite sex relationships can be confusing. I'll admit that. Sometimes you talk to someone, and what they give you hits a little deeper than you expected. You feel seen, heard, understood, not for what you provide, but for who you are. And in a world where most of us are emotionally underfed, that can feel like intimacy, the kind most people only associate with romantic relationships. So we get scared of it. We label it. We cut it off. Because if it feels that meaningful, it must be dangerous, right? But I've learned something. When you know what you're lacking, when you've taken the time to name the emptiness inside of you, then the connection doesn't confuse you anymore. You realize, oh, this isn't about her. It's about the part of me she's reflecting back. It's not about temptation. It's about recognition. And when you understand what you're actually receiving, validation, presence, curiosity, a mirror, you stop needing to assign it to romance. You stop fearing it, stop running from it, stop pretending it doesn't matter. When deep down, you know it's saving a part of you. It's not scandalous to be seen. It's essential. We just never learned how to hold that kind of intimacy without assuming it had to lead somewhere. Sometimes, it just needs to lead you back to yourself. You can love someone deeply and still feel deeply alone. That doesn't make you broken. Doesn't make them wrong. It makes you human. So if you're sitting here in that ache, the one that doesn't quite have a name, you're not alone. And maybe naming it here lets you breathe a little easier. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight we poured The Ache of Being Unseen, The Hunger for Connection, and the reminder to be fed emotionally is not a luxury, it's essential. So tonight, I raise a glass to the quiet truth. You deserve to be seen, not just supported, felt, not just needed, known, not just functional. And I hope we start finding our way back to the parts of us that still want to be fully alive. That's where I'm headed, after my wife sits me down for this one. Until next pour, stay honest, stay human.